ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Welcome to Fuelcast. I'm Carrington Clark, and this is your source to stay on top of the numbers behind the ongoing global energy crisis. It's Wednesday, June the 6th. We're recording mid-morning. Let's have a look at the latest figures. The price of Brent crude has risen to $96 a barrel since we last checked in. The national average price of unleaded has dropped. It's now sitting at $1.78 per litre. And the national average price of diesel has dropped to $2.20 per litre. Today, I'm joined by Ian Verrender to dig into the major energy headlines. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning to you, Carrington.
Ian, it is quite extraordinary that given that the Strait of Hormuz is still shut, we've now got at least the headline figure of petrol falling back to where it was before this war began. And there are these notes circulating among some economists that feel that things are getting really dicey when it comes to global supplies of oil. The negotiations seem to have all but shut down between the US and Iran, although it is confusing, contradictory messages, not just between those two participants, but also from Donald Trump from one minute to the next about whether or not he doesn't care that negotiations are happening, that they're still running at a pace, whether or not a bit of silence would be helpful, or we're right on the edge of something occurring. I mean, what's your view on the state of play currently when it comes to the opening up of the Strait of Hormuz, but also what it means for fuel prices here in Australia?
Well, firstly, I think oil prices haven't reacted to the extent that they should have, given the extent of the supply constraints, 20% of the world's oil and gas supplies being locked up in the Gulf, and the Straits of Hormuz continue remain shut. But there's been a major change, I think, this week, and particularly in regard to the negotiations. And that was the news that Iran had walked away from the negotiations. Now, for how long has it been? Since April, the US President Donald Trump has been saying that a deal was imminent. And I think markets have generally given him the benefit of the doubt on that. And
I mean, they've every single time there's been any suggestion that this deal has been about to be signed, agreed to, we've seen this kind of fall in the plunge in the price of oil and a rally on markets, despite the fact that every single time it's fallen over.
I know, and supplies are just so constrained. You know, I mean, Australia's been lucky to be able to secure all this liquid fuel out of Asia, but the rest of the world is scrambling for supplies. And the notes that I've
willing to pay the price.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the notes I've been saying is, the globe is about to hit empty on the tank fairly soon. But I think there was a major shift this week, and that was when Iran decided to just walk away from the negotiations. They know that their one great bit of leverage is the Strait of Hormuz, and they are not going to give that up easily. They're not just going to negotiate that away over the course of the next few days. And most market analysts seem to be thinking that this could go on till September at least. Now, you know, immediately after they walked away, demanding that Israel get out of Lebanon and out of Gaza and everywhere else, Donald Trump got on the phone to the Israeli Prime Minister and let loose, which gives you the impression that Iran now is calling the shots on the negotiations. They're also talking about, well, we won't open the Strait of Hormuz do we really have to scale back on our nuclear program? Oh, okay, we'll send our enriched uranium off to China. America says no. And they go, well, Strait of Hormuz, there's a whole range of factors that America wants to negotiate in terms of the deal that's on the table. And Donald Trump wants a better deal than Barack Obama signed off with Iran years ago. So he wants a better deal, and Iran's going, Strait of Hormuz. So they now have a lot more leverage than they've ever had before as a result of this war, and they're prepared to use it, clearly. And so that is not a good sign for future fuel prices in this country and around the world.
Ian, we've been talking about the end of this fuel excise cut. Now, the government implemented this relatively early on in the conflict to provide some relief to people. It's due to expire at the end of this month. Given that the price, the sticker price, the price people are paying when they go to fill up at the moment is actually lower than what it was before the conflict because of this excise cut, it seems consensus is that they will allow it to lapse and the price will jump. Is that a good idea? Is that going to be a problem for the economy?
Look, as painful as it probably is to see your price of petrol jump by more than 30 cents a litre, it does mean that we'll be seeing at least some of the tangible effects of what's going on in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
At the moment, we just seem completely cocooned from this global disaster that's unfolding before us. So you do need to send that price signal out there. You do need to get people to start thinking about using less fuel, and that's what a higher price would do, and also perhaps switching to some kind of alternative, whether that be electric vehicles or walking more, who knows, or public transport. But yeah, you do need to send that price signal through, because as we saw with the power price rebates during the more recent inflation outbreak, all you do is kick the problem down the road if you keep, you know, basically putting these rebates into effect. And it distorts the inflation effects. It then makes the Reserve Bank's job more difficult when it comes to interest rates, because inflation ends up being a problem for far longer than it ordinarily would have been. So as tough as it does sound like this, I think we need to be exposed to what the real problems are in the world here.
Yeah, and I think the most recent data has been messy, including we're going to have GDP data out today. There's going to be a messiness even in that data because of the electricity rebates coming off. And so it just moves the expenditure from government to the consumer in a kind of dramatic way, which you then have to look through. What we keep being warned about is that there are going to be the flow-on second round, third round effects of these higher fuel costs, higher diesel costs, not only here in Australia, but also globally. You know, we import a lot of products from overseas and we haven't really seen them. So this is going to get a lot messier before it gets better here in Australia, isn't it?
Yeah. And look, the Reserve Bank, Treasury, everybody is forecasting a quick resolution to this conflict.
But because they're basically just using the pricing in the market, which is this dramatic fall of the oil price in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
And they just keep moving that slowly out. But the consensus is still that suddenly it's going to drop because the Strait of Hormuz is going to be open.
That's right. And I think there's a realization now that it's not going to be a quick resolution. And so, you know, the price effects will really start to hit, and particularly with chemicals, helium, all sorts of other, you know, side effects from the shortage of oil. And this is really going to start to work its way through the global economy. So, I mean, we can try and insulate ourselves here as best as we could. And look, the rebate was a good idea if it had been a very short-term problem, but you can't do this forever. And so at some stage,
it's
the
government's...
Yeah, it's really expensive. We're running deficits as it is. So at some stage, it's going to have to come off. And if this is going to be the new world order when it comes to fuel prices, then we'd better get used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sad to leave on a negative note, but I think it's important that people have a realistic expectation about where the prices are heading in the coming months and some of those flow-on effects we still haven't actually felt. Thanks for joining us for Fuelcast. You can catch ABC Business Daily later today, and we'll be back in your feeds with all things fuel next week. Catch you next time, Ian.
See you then.